You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Know what love looks like? You take some Claritin and you go to a park and you find love by somebody staring at you lustfully and creepily and probably taking notes on their phone about you, and then they come up to you and they're like, oh hey, do you want to marry me or something like that, and you're just like, man, yes I do. And that's what love looks like, or at least what this film thinks love looks like.
This is more like what hell looks like in comparison.
Hey guys, you want to have you the movie without any of the without any of the subtext? Here you go.
This is the unironic version.
It is weird how people approach each other in this movie, because they always approach with the intent of wanting something. Like, there isn't a meet cute. Since no one meets, no. They like stalk.
Yeah. So what is, I think you mentioned this, Brad, what is it with these movies that apparently pretty people just don't know how to talk to people? They're like, oh, I'm so awkward. Oh, I don't know what to say.
Right. Oh, excuse me. I noticed that you have a cute face. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I want to wear your skin. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. Oh,
guys, yeah, we can't wait to talk more about this with you people. This is what love looks like. So I got sent this link. And I don't want to talk too much about how I got the link. I'm just going to say I put out the call for everybody on Facebook, and everyone's just like, oh, I guess.
Someone in the alley gave it to me.
It feels like it, the way that I was given this. So, but yes, thankfully we have these brave souls who volunteered to watch this movie with me. So over here is my lovely wife, Lexi.
Hello.
We needed one woman to talk about this.
Oh, boy. This was hilariously fun and also boring at the same time.
Yes, and then we also got London.
Hey, I only show up with crap now.
I swear you can volunteer for good movies, man.
I do! Yeah, I want this recorded, people. They don't let me watch the good movies, okay?
I have not said, London, you cannot watch this movie.
It's a roll of the dice, man. You just gotta guess.
And then over there, we got Bradley.
Hello.
Oh, I can't wait to start, because does anyone want to try to summarize the plot? I'm sorry.
I could, perhaps.
I can't say that with a straight face, but go ahead, honey.
It's basically, as I said, when I say that it's like an ad,
it's so shot like a commercial.
It's shot like a Claritin commercial. Like, I mean, I'm not even kidding. It looks that just like that. And
with stock music.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stock music. And the plot is that we need to figure out what love actually looks like. And apparently it looks like very beautiful model people walking in a park, talking to people and strangers and staring at people. Really awkward dialogue. You know what? Honestly, this film has, like, zero plot.
Basically,
it kind of has a plot, but it's so incoherent. I can't actually tell you what it is.
Basically, it's a really crappy version of Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve.
Or, like, Love Actually or something. I think that's what it was going for, but it failed on pretty much every level.
Well, and even worse, like, when you say about, like, on the IMDb thing, it says, 5 interwoven love stories explore the ups and downs of finding love. That is a lie, because there's no point where these stories ever interweave with each other.
With the exception of it maybe being in the same park. That might be the connecting force in this.
They were all shot clearly in the same park. That is without a doubt. There's like, I think we said there's like maybe 3 locations that they use over and over. The park, a couple apartments, and then some outdoor shots in one of the cities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay, here's the thing. So, in the beginning, you know, we're in introduction in the Anyway, so in the opening, we see all these little meet cute moments, people getting proposed. Also, like, oh, okay. And the one thing I noticed, like, oh, this is a very diverse movie. Look at all these different couples and then together. And then as soon as it starts, everybody looks the same. Every freaking couple looks the same. And you know what? I actually wrote, I think I have the list down.
There's dog couple, British lady couple, one night stand couple, sandwich couple, and phone couple.
Having it out of context makes it even better.
But that's even more descriptive because I couldn't tell you any of these characters' names. They say them every now and then, but they're just so generic looking that you can't attach yourself at all to any of these people as people. They're just, like you said, crazy sandwich girl and guy who stalks girl with dog. I'm just going to ask this. Which plotline is the creepiest? Because for me, it's that Ted Bundy dude who kept talking to himself while stalking the dog lady. That was giving me huge, like, stalker vibes throughout the entire thing.
I think also the sandwich one, where she just kind of goes up to him and she's just like, why are you eating that sandwich? And he's like, oh. And she's just like, takes a bite and she's just like, oh, it's awful. And I'm just like, why are you walking up to this guy you don't even know? And talking about sandwiches, and then she like proceeds to at some point later in the film to make him a sandwich and be like, this is better than your crappy sandwich. I'm like, what is it about the sandwich? I don't get it.
I'm sorry, Brad, you gonna say something?
No just okay. That she put pine nuts in a sandwich. I don't even know what that is.
Pine nuts are used for cooking.
Yeah,
stuff,
I've had them before. They're actually pretty tasty. They're just like a type of nut.
But London, what were you going to say?
No, I was just thinking, like, okay, you know, in my head, because this, we're all going to, you know, get into it, but I honestly thought that was going to go somewhere. Like, I was getting in, okay, this is a really weird comparison, but in my head, I was forming an Into the Woods situation where it seems like all these stories are going to be one way, but then it's going to turn, like, make a complete right turn halfway through, and it's like, she put something, like, she made him a sandwich the next day, but then she roofied him. She drug him home. She drug him home and then, like, tied him to a bed and force-fed him sandwiches, you know, or it's like,
it turned into audition in your head?
Yeah, or like, okay, also, that same couple, the guy in the guy in there, his wife is passed on. So, you know, so in the story, he keeps seeing her as a ghost, or he might just be crazy. I don't know.
Who like, knows, right?
Like, not just a ghost, but he sees her a ghost in lingerie most of the time.
Oh, see, yeah.
Okay. See, you know what I thought for a second was like, okay, maybe she's not actually dead. It's like a fetish they have. Just like, I pretend to be a ghost because it's hot for some reason.
Listen, would that turn you on if I did something like that?
No. It almost feels like a gaslighting, like that South Park episode where Eric thinks he's dead.
Oh my
like
gosh, that, yeah.
They get really turned on by pretending that they've passed on and need to move on to the afterlife.
Like, oh no, I'm dead.
So like when the sandwich girls come over his house, she shows up. He's like, wait, I thought your wife was dead. Like, oh no, wait.
So let me see if I can get this kink straight. And let's not kink shame anybody. You're proposing she pretends she's dead. He acts sad in the park. And it makes her hot and bothered watching other girls hit on him with sandwiches. And it's all supposed to lead to a threesome at the end? Or? That sounds like a better movie, but
okay, Brad, so we got a premise here. Let's keep going.
Yeah, this is more interesting than the actual premise of the movie.
Like, us just coming up with ideas of what they could have done with it to make it more interesting is so much better than the actual film.
Yeah, because the actual plots are just very generic, meet cute with question mark story, because honestly, these stories are all incredibly creepy.
There's one bit, so there's one of the girls, and she's got an aunt.
It's aunt who looks clearly only like 3 years older than her.
Yeah, and she's you know, not trying to like because I have a very multicultural family. I've got an uncle from the Philippines, but she's, you know, she's Asian, and you're just like, okay. And then there's this white girl, and I guess they're like her aunt, and then they like, she's like, the aunt is like talking about like, it's, I'm not sure if I heard this wrong or maybe I'm just imagining things because I can't remember this film very well anymore, but like, they're talking about, like, sex, like,
oh, no,
sex
no, no, life? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, if your love life's not that good, just think about when I try to attract your uncle's attention by getting naked and that kind of stuff.
And I'm just like, ew! You're putting that imagery into your niece's mind. Why? I don't know.
I just have so little, I pretty much have nothing good to say about this movie. I'm sorry, you know, I hate picking on movies like these because this is clearly made for like a couple thousand bucks. It's somebody's pet project that they wanted to make. And
yeah.
It's actually available to stream and buy on Amazon Prime. You know, they asked us to just do a request for this. But I can't in good consciousness or conscience, whatever. whether morally or in good consciousness of being awake, recommend this movie because it's just so tacky and boring. And I can only say, if you want to laugh unintentionally, like the room level laughter, this movie will definitely do that because there's some parts in here where we could not stop laughing at what happened because it was just so badly acted and executed.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, no, I'm not gonna go into a rant, but I'm gonna go into something. So, Lexi,
go for it.
Okay. So,
go for it.
Go for it.
Do it.
Okay, Lexi. I know you're here. You're offering the female perspective, but I'm the only one in this group that's single, so I'm gonna offer the single perspective, and I'm gonna to mime one of my favorite critics of all time, Robert Cargill. I actually do like romantic comedy, so you know.
But, that's a spot on impression.
But and this was just it was offensive actually because to anyone who yearns for romance or yearns for that feeling of like that connection that people get, you know, that little lovey-dovey stuff and that humor, that awkwardness with people first court and all that such, they contorted it. I mean, it's like they didn't even have that, you know, and it's just they made that whole situation seem more miserable. It's like you either have nothing or you have stalking. And it's like, that's not right, you know? Like, people who are single want to have, like, a connection and want to feel that real genuine love and or affection that people have when, you know, when they get together and they get to know each other and they're friends, da, da, da. But this is just, like, this is kind of like making fun of people like that. Like, the only way you can date people is if you creep them out and stalk them and be awkward. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, like, they're trying to do things that look cute, but there's nothing cute about their behavior. It's just really awful. Like, everything they do to these people is just so awful and, like, just the worst type of advice. And people treat it as if it's like, oh, that's so romantic that he talked to himself in the park trying to rehearse how he's going to talk to me before actually approaching me. In sight of the girl, she can actually see him doing this. So it's even creepier.
I feel like this film is almost like it. Even though it takes it so, it really does take itself very seriously too, I think. Or maybe it doesn't. Like, I don't know. I can't tell what the vibe this film's really going for. But I kind of feel like it's kind of is like speaking to the deeper problem that this conversation's been around for a while of Hollywood having films kind of in the same vein of like creepy stalker behavior.
Yeah.
Where when you look at it realistically, it is creepy and disturbing. And I'll say this. I've been a little bit on the end of that. Not terribly so. I'm not going to worry anybody. But I have dated, because I dated a lot on dating websites, and there had been one dude that I found, like, 2 years, like, after I had gone on literally about 3 dates of him, he, like, messaged me out of the blue, and he's like, oh, hey. And then he messaged me again, like, a second time. I'm like, I keep blocking him. I'm like, dude, no, I don't like it, and it makes me really uncomfortable. Also, as a woman, I feel very uncomfortable when I was very direct with this guy, and I was like, you know what, this is not gonna work for a variety of reasons. Please don't message me. I'm just trying to move on with my life. Don't act desperate, because it really does freak people out, because like, what if it turns into something more serious and like it like actually as in a stalking situation? That's a terrifying thought to me, you know, to have something become that like, you know, creepy and disturbing, because it can mess with your mental health.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's what I mean. This movie is kind of offensive in that way. It's like, this sends out a bad message. You know, it's like, this is how you get dates. I'm like, no, it's not, and don't even think about. Hopefully, no one will see it because they won't get an idea like, oh, this is what love is. This is how you date people. This is how, you know, I mean, anyone who watches this is going to be, hopefully, be mature enough to know that's the case. But this movie romanticizes that notion that's honestly, it's been retired. You know, that stuff that was in class, that was in, you know, God, I don't even know when the last, well, this most recent one I've seen were this example, but, you know, like Hollywood films where they had this garbage. But, you know, it's just, we're at a point where
there's so many other better romantic comedies out there. The Big Sick is an excellent romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And that's on Amazon right now, so you can check that, you know, so...
Yeah, if you have Amazon Prime, go watch The Big Sick.
Yeah, The Big Sick. Know, yeah, just, it's an excellent romantic comedy. And it's based off a true story, so there you go.
Yeah. No, but Brad, you've been a little quiet, too. What do you think?
Yeah, it's all very creepy. I think this movie maybe was written by someone who feels lonely, not someone who's in love.
Yeah. And, well, because most of these characters are just lonely. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like the old saying goes, you know, wanting to be loved and being in love are two very different things. And I think these characters and the presentation of this is people who are just desperate to be loved. And it's a very strange movie in the sense that it has that, I guess, 80s nostalgia where you don't date someone, you meet someone and then get married and fall in love with them forever, which is awkward. Especially how these people meet. Someone in one part of the movie actually is that weird creepy guy who like talks his things out, and he's like, what Cooper, does he say? Like, go, I want to see you, and then we can go on a date, and then marry me forever. It's like, ew. This guy should probably, and obviously this is way too much serious attention for a fictional character, but he needed a friend in this movie that's like, dude, maybe work on yourself before you work on yourself as a boyfriend or as someone's couple buddy. You know, you clearly got some serious issues you need to deal with first.
Yeah, but no, he gets enabled because nobody says no in this movie to any of the creepy behavior. They're just like, oh, that's cute that he followed me around, or oh, that's cute that he sold all those things and traveled to England to be with me. You know, I'm just like...
It's just such a shallow film, I feel like. Like, there's no depth to any of the characters. There's, like, I mean, and everybody's, like, always happy and bubbly. And if they're bad, it's, like,
except
very
soft. Except for Mr. Mopes
a lot,
who is, like, my wife is dead.
Oh, yeah, but it's, like, such fake moping. Like, it's there's, like, no weight to any of it. It's
no,
like,
you're absolutely right. That's another thing about it. He's like, we gotta stop doing this. And the other girl's, like, seeing each other in the park for 3 minutes a day. He's like, yes, because that'll just lead to marriage. He's like, I don't think it will, dude. I think sometimes a sandwich is just a sandwich.
You think you're creepy. I'll be creepier than you. I'm sorry.
It's a creep on, but you know, and even just outside of all the creepy stuff, it's just, you know, again, this is one of those films that was clearly, like I said, it was clearly made for like $1,000, and it's just so cheap looking and generic, and it's full of even basic like filmmaking problems. Like, I think London, you mentioned the audio sync was off in a couple scenes.
I thought it was the stream, like, because the lips weren't matching the ADR. And so I thought, you know, because we were streaming this, I'm like, oh, it must be my, you know, computer or something. But then you mentioned it, too. I'm like, oh, so it was the scene.
Yeah, but then there's other times when they're doing, like, audio through, like, phone messages and text messages and stuff, and you can hear the actors breathe into the microphone in a couple scenes, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like, get a dead cat, you know, those little things you put on the microphones. Just get one of those and stop the popping. That's really easy to do, and they can't do it.
I was going to say, like, the one thing that, and this is the one, I don't know if I can say compliment, but it's just, it's something where it didn't drive me crazy, where even though it was stock music, at least the music was, like, the score was distributed evenly throughout the film. Because I've seen a lot of indie films where it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's so awkward. It's like, guys, editors, put a score in here somewhere. Even if it's just anything. It feels like, because it makes the movie feel longer than it should be. But at least here, they, even though it was stock and, you know, but at least it was played. At least it felt more like a movie then, because it was distributed throughout it. So I'll give it that.
No, yeah, that's better than nothing. Although the music was at some points where Lexi joked about taking a Claritin. There's some parts where they do that kind of cheer, like, kind of commercial, where it's like, yeah, like it sounds like commercial music. Like, he's like, having trouble finding a girlfriend, go on to, you know, Match.com and find their true love.
Well, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I know for a fact that a lot of that stock music is used in YouTube videos. That's kind of why I'm like, is this person, like, a YouTuber and just wanted to try and make their own film or something? Because it feels like a film that somebody from YouTube would have tried to make. It
now,
really
now,
does.
Now, let's not besmirch the great Alex Magnana, I think it's his
name. I'm not even going to try.
Magnana. The great filmmaker who wrote, directed, shot, edited, and co-produced this movie all by himself.
Yep. I mean, I have to give some credit. I'll be honest. I have to give some credit. That's a lot of dedication. And
yeah.
It does seem like this person really did want to try and make a film.
Sure.
Like, I have to give credit where credit is due. It's hard. It is hard to make a film. It really is. But, you know, sometimes you have to be honest and be like, look, you know, maybe, like, it's just not a good film. I mean, you tried. Cool. You tried and it didn't work, you know.
Well, I think maybe, okay, here's the thing. Maybe he just had too many hats. You know, like, yeah. Okay, just give off one. Get, you know, hire another writer.
Yeah.
Hire someone to punch up these stories. Have someone maybe look it over and be like, okay, maybe instead of this, do this. Or you know, have someone else be like, hey, you know, how about the ghost girlfriend is the same girlfriend that's in the park where the other guy was looking at. So then, like, there's like a ghost triangle, a love triangle thing.
You just really want this like cinematic threesome to happen, don't you?
Yeah, it's like something. Like, I thought it would be funny. Like, I really, like, okay, I'm not going to. Context people. So there's a scene, I'm gonna call them British couple because the lady's British. There she's in the park. This lady's in the park. This guy, I don't know his name. Anyway, he walks by,
wears party
her.
Hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He sees her and she disappears. Like comically disappears. Like Batman disappears. Like you turn around totally gone. So he stalks this park looking for her. And honestly, she looks so similar to dead wife of the other guy. That I thought it was the ghost. And, like, she was just leaving and just venturing around the world. So, in my head, I thought, oh, is he going to fall in love with the ghost? And then, like, you know, the husband and the widow is going to be and him going to argue over the
ghost. Oh, gosh.
While the sandwich girl is there.
That would be
like,
great.
I was just writing these better stories of
yeah, that would have been much better. And, again, like, I can't stress enough. I can't tell some of these actors apart from each other because they all look like generic, identical white dudes for a lot of these.
Yeah,
these
they really
except
do.
For the you know for the few you know actors and actresses who are actually people of color in this movie. All the white people look just like white people. Like,
yep.
Dude looks like Ryan Gosling. Dude looks like the dude from Jexy, and then dude, just other dude with beard.
Oh yeah, there was the so okay, trying to describe characters and this is awful, but there's the one girl with the boyfriend that. He's always staring at his phone, and she, like, goes out to a party one night, and she, like, gets a... What, was it, like, an Uber? I'm not really sure.
No, no, no. Yeah. So, you were kind of tuning out. It was,
I was kind of tuning out.
The dude was, you know, she's like, oh, my Uber got canceled, and the dude's
oh,
like,
oh, right.
You know.
He became the Uber.
Yeah.
No, and, no, he was an Uber driver, though.
Oh.
Because at the end... No, remember at the end, there's a little thing where... Oh, okay.
Oh.
Spoilers. Spoilers. She stalks Uber to get a hold of him at the end.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he was an Uber driver.
It's impossible to follow or care about any of these plot
lines. Yeah, because and like the way it's edited, to be completely honest, it really makes it especially incoherent to figure out, like, because there's, as we said, like, everybody kind of looks the same. All the stories are kind of in the same vein or something. It's not, there's nothing really to distinguish between any of them other than just like, look, it's another random couple. Oh, it's another couple. They're doing something, talking. Well, and it's mostly talking, too. Like, it's a very talking
can be
film.
Fine, but yeah.
But the dialogue is pretty atrocious. I mean, there's, like, some really, really funny lines. And there was one where, I don't know if you want to go, if you want to tell this part.
Oh, but I don't know if I want to spoil that one, but let's just say this, that the guy wants to, is it the magic trick dude?
Oh yeah,
yeah. This guy wants to impress this girl. So you know, want to see a magic trick. And you expect him to go. You expect him to lower his hands down, just like I'm gonna make my penis disappear.
Oh my gosh!
See, I thought he was gonna pull out a pen and be like, just stick it on the table and be like, I can make this pen disappear.
Like the Joker, like Ted Bundy, dude. It wouldn't be surprising based on his behavior. In fact, that was one of the single funniest, like genuine. Okay. Both genuinely and unintentionally funny sequences where they go to that restaurant and there's that one black waiter who's helping them out and he sees the dude talking to himself in the bathroom and he gives him this look just like, you a crazy mofo. That was the one time I laughed genuinely in the movie.
I think it would have been really funny if like...
Crazy white people.
Throughout like most of the film, it's like this like same old like very generic like Love Actually thing and then halfway through or towards the end... There's suddenly like this big change, and everybody else, like, you know, murder starts happening. Like, the Ted Bundy guy, like, oh, like the magic trick thing? Oh, it's like murder.
It turns into a Doki Doki Literature Club where it just goes into a huge left turn. You're just like, oh boy.
Or like Sandwich Girl poisoned, or going to England and then murder. I'm like, I mean, that would have been hilariously interesting. Like, I mean, I guess at this point, I'm just trying to come up with anything more interesting than what the actual film was, honestly.
Yeah, okay, you know what's actually another reference?
There was a movie. Y'all remember Amelie?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amelie. Yeah. She played in another movie right after that called He Loves Me and or Loves Me Not. And okay, I'm not gonna spoil too much of it because it's actually entertaining in the movie.
Oh, is that just the one that's filmed with two different perspectives?
Yeah.
Yes, I know that one.
And so let's just say it's very similar to what you guys are talking
about. Yeah. I gotta tell you about that movie.
Oh, we gotta watch it now.
It's actually really good.
But, that sounds great. Yeah,
no, it is. It's
yeah. But Brad, any last thoughts before we start going to final ratings? Because I could talk more about this, but it's just gonna be me complaining and moaning about how awful the terrible themes and stories of this movie are.
Well, movies like this, they don't have to be bad. I mean, not very many romantic comedies actually have anything good to say about love or romance, courting, couples, heartache. It's usually just fluff. I think where this one really drops the ball is their fluff is boring and their characters aren't interesting. Oh my gosh, I got the biggest headache when one character's like, "So, how is your day? Do anything interesting?" And this douchebag who's, like, desperate to be accepted as a deep person says, "Define interesting." Like, oh, go fuck yourself, dude.
And then she proceeds to define him interesting, literally.
So yeah, like, please, somebody stab me. Get me out of here was my feeling about a lot of this dialogue exchange.
I don't remember that scene.
Don't remember that scene.
Like, the situation with the dude who is obsessed with his phone. Like, are we actually going to say that's the problem? He doesn't like being around you and he would rather be on his phone than engage in conversation with you. That's the real problem here. Why aren't we discussing that? But because the film doesn't care and it's not a real relationship. It never was. It's just fill her until she can find the fluff Uber guy who says creepy ass shit like, "Oh, if I was the Grinch, I'd steal your stocking," or some ridiculous I'd call like you Merry Christmas.
He looked like Discount Ryan Gosling.
You know, he could have pulled that line off, that actor, if he looked disappointed at himself after he said it. Then I'd think, you know what? This is kind of a fun movie, but there's nothing fun about it. That sounded better in my head. Yeah, that exactly. Like, that sounded better than my head. You know, that's mostly what charming is, just realizing your own limitations and taking a risk and then being like, wow, that sounded better in my head. I'm so sorry you had to hear that. Anyways.
Yeah. Now, London, are you going to say something before we proceed?
No, I was making fun of it because I thought... No, it was... that scene did happen. And, Brad, we saw the movie. It was the one with Alexander Daddario and Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember you
remember he had that joke. He was like... She's like, "Why would you pick... you're so rich. Why would you pick me? And why would you pick someone like me?" He's like, he said something like, "Because I wanted you." And then right after, like, 5 seconds, I was like, "Oh, man, I sounded so douchey." That was the best joke in the movie.
See, that would have been... Yeah, again, if any character had any self-awareness in this movie, that would have helped a lot.
And that was Superman. He was super handsome. So that made him even better.
Right. Well, so Tyler Hoechlin, Superman specifically, yes. So... why don't we move on to final thoughts? You know, I'll just go first just to get it out of the way. Again, what you said, Brad, I'm not angry at this movie. Like, it was a miserable experience watching it. But unlike some other movies we reviewed that also we've been called out on before, I don't feel like this comes from any kind of cynical place, you know? Like you said, it feels like a dude is trying to make an actual romantic comedy. It just is not good, you know? That's just the thing. It's like, yeah, I get what you're trying to do, but like you said... it comes out of desperation rather than genuine romantic interest. And I just don't know how to feel about that. It's just so forgettable. And the actors, I'm just going to say, sorry, all the actors are awful in this. There's not a single good actor in this movie. No single good moment of acting in this movie.
No, those two dogs are pretty good.
Yeah. All the animals in the film are great.
I would say the one black waiter was like, his one reaction was funnier than anything else that was said in the entire movie. But yeah, I got to just be honest and say, just don't watch this. You know, it's really not worth your time unless you want to laugh at some of the cringeworthy dialogue throughout this film. So for that reason, I'm going to give it 1 out of 10 CSI parodies that looked like porn parodies.
Oh,
Yeah, do you remember that? Where the guy looked at the camera just like, so apparently she died from, he puts on the sunglasses, chronic masturbation. You're like, what?
It seriously was totally on the level of a porn movie.
Because then there's the other maybe porn parody with Casablanca, where you're just like, wait, some of the dialogue, was that meant to be funny?
Were those the two sexy? Same actors?
I think they were, yeah. They're supposed to be the same actors. So. Yeah,
it's very random.
Well, he was trying to project him. He tried to see himself as what a cool guy would say or do. And that's what he came up with in his own head.
But that's not clear at all.
Maybe I'm projecting this, but and it was awful, so I'm not sure what the point was. Like, you think that's cool? Just be yourself. And then if that's who he feels his self should be, then whoa, don't be yourself. Let's work on Jesus something.
Don't be yourself.
Be yourself. 10 minutes later, literally be anybody else.
Be anybody else. You know what? Let the person you're interacting with talk. Let them lead the conversation. You don't have to be in control of this. That's the advice I'd give him. But there was no real advice in this movie. There were no real themes. It was just, I'm so desperately lonely. That sucks.
Then they'd meet,
someone else and they'd be like, oh, now I'm not desperately lonely. Cool. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. So, well, you want to give your final rating, Brad, with that?
Oh, sure. I'd really rather not rate this movie. I clearly have a lot of baggage myself with romantic comedies that I don't find funny. Let's give 2 sandwiches made in 10 kitchens while 15 dead ghosts watch, as opposed to living ghosts. I did enjoy that backstory. I actually really found a lot of humor. But it wasn't supposed to be funny, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah. This movie's hysterical, but it's not a comedy. Or at least not that
right.
type of comedy.
I'm out.
But Lexi, yeah, go ahead.
Go London. Yeah. Go Lexi, go.
Yeah, I think this film, honestly, I think as a film, it just doesn't work. However, I don't mean any of these things, like, maliciously about the film. Like, as I mentioned earlier, it is really hard to make a film. It's not easy. And I'm hoping, you know, that there was some, like, genuine, you know, they were probably genuinely trying. But, yeah, as a romantic comedy, or if it was trying to be serious, I don't really know what the tone really was. It just didn't work. And it just kind of felt so shallow, kind of like an ad or something. I just don't know how to, it's like trying to describe like white bread or something. I don't know. It's not much there. It's bread. It is
edible. It will not fill you. It is not nutritious, but you can eat it and you will not die.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I'll be honest. I did get at least a little bit of entertainment value out of it. Honestly, like Justin and I were cracking up at several scenes. Probably, like, I mean, I haven't laughed so hard in a few weeks, honestly. I mean, after some of the jokes that Justin made while we were watching this, it was really fun. But that's what love is sharing, you know, like, having more deep connections and, you know, laughing at dumb films and things like that. I feel like this film does not show what love actually is. Not at all. Don't follow any of the advice or themes or anything in this film, by the way, as we mentioned earlier. Stalking equals bad. That is not how you win people over. You don't just stare at them and be like, "Can you, do you want to date me?" And like, and if they turn you down, then well, okay, just move on. You know, that's just how it is. That's the reality of it. And I think for me, I think my rating is gonna be 1 out of 10 party hats that just sit on your head, and who knows why they're there. I guess it's just to add some color or something.
It was supposed to imply that it was the sister of that guy's birthday party,
he didn't even show a birthday party. It's just like she comes out behind a bush or something and is like, I'm wearing a hat too. There's a party. What? Okay. Sure, I'll take that. Okay. And also to the filmmaker, it's like, you know, keep trying, you know, like...
Well, this isn't his first film either, so...
Continue trying. Like, I mean it. Like, you always get better. You know, so you can always do better, and you can always keep trying, so.
But London, we need you to be the last thought here, because I got to hear what your closing remarks are.
Like I said, guys, I love romantic comedy, so.
Are you the producer? All right, guys, listen up. This is the way that you get to woman's heart.
Cargo secretly produced it. But, no. Okay, the thing is, I'm going to pair up. I have the exact same feelings that Justin, you have. And I just, it, there are so many issues, and but it never angered me. Like, I wasn't watching it being like, because if anyone's seen the last two reviews that I've been on, literally the last two reviews that I've been on, then you would see the crap that we have gone through. And see, those movies, I think what really irritated me about those was they were genuinely offensive. They were trying to piss you off. Like, not only were they bad, but they were trying to poke fun at you. Like, ah, look what we're doing. You have to watch this. Ah. But this one, it's like, it's inadvertently offensive. It's inadvertently offensive in the fact that it gives bad advice about relationships and courtship and love and all that. And so, but in the end, it's still more genuine. And that's something that I can still see. It's like, okay, this guy, the cinematographer, director, producer, blah, 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 writer, he needed some help. He needed to, like, step back. He had a script. And from the script phase, he should have had someone else work with him. You know, okay, you have multiple stories here. Let's take one, stretch it out, make it work. Or instead of intertwining, that's very difficult to do. You do intertwining stories like, you know, your fifth script or something. You know, work. That's something that's effort. You know, take one of these, stretch them out. You know, do some. You can even do some goofy, like we said. Like, I don't know. Have the ghost triangle or the the guy who's in love with his phone. Have the phone become sentient and become like a knockoff her. You know, I don't know. Do something like
no. Okay, there we go. I can picture it now. It's he's on his phone so much that his girlfriend, to get his attention back, pretends to be the sentient app on his phone to trick him into meeting her again. Like,
oh. And then she dresses up as a phone. No.
Okay, yes, there you go.
I have a couple more ideas to write for scripts. So anyway,
why didn't she just text him? Just text him. Stop talking to a blank wall. Text him, dude, why are you on your phone so much? Then he'll have to reply because he's a slave to the technology.
There you go.
Yeah, see? Okay, there you go.
Be innovative in your communication.
There you go. Right? Yeah, so it's... But like I said, I think... And that's just the issue. It's they... There are so many, a lot of these just felt like YouTube sketches. Like the beginning of, not even like a full YouTube sketch, like the beginning of one before like the joke happens, like the setup. And we never really, and even the resolutions, it just felt like tacked on. So, I don't know. And it kind of, like I said, it tricked me because in the beginning it looked like, this looks okay. You know, like because the opening, you know, all the couples, like, okay, it's going to be nice and fluff, you know, it's fine. But then later on it's, and then they have the audacity to put drama. Like, guys, not a drama.
So, but like I said, you're not going to get a rant out of me because, like I said, it wasn't that bad. So, I'm going to give this, I don't even want to give it a rating either because I just don't think it's, see, it's funny because, like, Bradley, I'm on the opposite end. It's like, I think I'm going to be too fair. You know, wait, Brad, did you give a rating?
Yeah.
Did you give a rating?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Did I talk about sandwiches? Sorry. I don't know.
We can't even remember.
Okay, fine. Then three cute dogs out of awkward couple's leashes out of 10.
the dogs were, and the cat that randomly appears out of a bush were my favorite. You know, I love animals.
They were really adorable. Yeah, I was like, oh, that dog. And the dog. The dog has better game than the guy. the dog initiates the relationship. And then they never see the dog again.
And I love
that. Again, another better movie. What if this was following the dog's perspective, trying to lead the owners to meet up with each other? Like, it's that short film, Feast. Like, that would be a version of that, essentially.
And there was also that random cat that kind of just, I think, got tossed into the scene, like, here you go, kitty. And it's like, oh, there's a cat. Oh, no. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, did they throw that cat?
That's what I thought. I'm like, it looks like somebody tossed the cat. I'm like, what?
I'm like, what? Why?
The cat's just like, why am I here? I just want to be climbing a tree.
Poor cat.